Made it by grace too, amen. All right, appreciate you being here tonight, and once again, do pray for our pastor and his family as they take a few days off, get some rest, and pray for me tonight as I try the best I can to fill in for him. So you pray for me, and in Galatians chapter number 3, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. And let's see, the Wednesday night Awanas start back up Wednesday night, so you remember that, and have the children here as you can, and get started with that for this new year. Much, God has blessed that program tremendously down through the years, and he will continue to bless that as long as we follow him tonight. In Galatians chapter 3, if you found your place, stand with us, and we'll begin reading verse number 19. Verse number 19. Wherefore, when serveth the law? It is added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us to be here. Thank you for your blessed holy word, God, that you have given us. God, I ask you, Lord, to give me the ability to stand and proclaim it in a way that would be pure, in a way, God, that would be easily understood. God, I pray, Lord, this evening, God, open our hearts. God, help us to pay attention to what you're trying to tell us. Father, I pray, Lord, to please, God, just move and have your way, God, in every heart. God, if there be one, Lord, it's lost. God, that doesn't know you as our own personal Savior. God, I beg you tonight, bring Holy Ghost conviction and bring them to an altar of prayer, Lord, to where they may accept you. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, to please touch the service. Have your way, God, in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. But Brother Revis, he asked me on Wednesday night if I would preach tonight. And this thought and this verse has been on my heart for the last couple of weeks. And I believe this is God, what God wants for the night. It's just a simple thought. It's a simple message. So you be much in prayer for us. Here we've read in Galatians chapter 3. And we see that Paul wrote this letter to the southern regions of Galatia in order to clear up some controversies that had arisen in the churches there. In Paul's first missionary trip, he visited this region and no doubt established at least one church and possibly more. And then they in turn established other churches in the area. But when Paul departed from there, there were Judaizers that moved in and tried to confuse these young Christians by bringing in some false teaching. Now, of course, Paul taught them salvation comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these Judaizers have come through, and they want to add the works of the law to salvation, and they want to add the keeping of the law to their doctrine, thus adding law to grace. And man cannot add anything to the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or else it's ceases to be the truth of God. Anything added to the grace of God ceases to be the truth of God. These Jewish fanatics moved in and they perverted the truth which Paul preached. So Paul in this letter is trying his best to clear up these false teachings. The key verse to this letter is found back in chapter 2 and verse number 16. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That's where Paul introduced this thought. And now back into our text verse, beginning in verse number 19, Brother Paul asked a question. He asked there, he says, wherefore, or what then was the purpose of the law? It was added because the transgressions committed from the time of Adam until Moses to show men their sins. It was to be in effect until the time of the seed, or until the time of the mediator. Brother, the law was to be in effect from Moses until the time of the seed, or the time. And you say, well, who is that, preacher? Hey, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who is the seed of David. He is our great mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, Paul writes, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, a mediator. Now, a mediator is useless if there's only one party, but God is one and mankind mind is the second. And Jesus is our mediator. Now, a mediator is one who comes in and mediates differences between two parties. And I use this illustration sometimes. It's like the company and the union. Every now and then they'll have a dispute on wages. They'll have a dispute on the contract, and they can't get together. So they get a mediator in and mediate, and he'll go to the company and he'll ask the company, what will you take? And the company will tell him. He'll go to the union and sit down, and what do you want? And they tell him what they want, and he mediates the differences. Brother, Jesus Christ is our mediator. Brother, we were in sin, and friend, today God is holy and righteous, and the only way that he can mediate is to come on our behalf and, brother, mediate with us and tell us and show us and convict us of our sin and get us to come to Christ, and then we are two parties become one. Now, he is our mediator. So then, you say, preacher, is the law contrary, or is the law in opposition to the grace of God? Is the law in opposition to the promises of God? Paul says, of course not, because if the law could have been given, which could give eternal life, then our righteousness and our right standing before God would come by the law. If the law could give us eternal life, Jesus would have had no business to come, but the law could not give us righteousness. The law could only show us where we are unrighteous. That brings us down to verse number 22, where that I want to just pause and get our thoughts for the message tonight. He says there, but the scripture, now he's talking about the Old Testament writings. The New Testament hadn't been printed. The New Testament hadn't been written. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it hadn't been published. So the Old Testament writings have concluded that all men everywhere are under or in sin. Why does it do that, preacher? In order that the promise given by God concerning man's faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all that put their faith in him. You say, well, what does this actually mean? It means that all men everywhere were born into sin and are born sinners. I've witnessed to some people and I've asked them if they were a Christian. Are you saved? And well, I've got many responses, as I'm sure you all have. And I've had one and said, she told me, she said, I've always been a Christian. No, you ain't always been a Christian. No, you've not always been a Christian. The Bible says in Psalms 51 and verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Brother, we were born into sin. We were born with a sin nature. It's there within us. Hey, listen, you have those little babies around. You have your children. You parents, did you ever have to tell them? Did you ever have to instruct them to do wrong? It just come naturally. The first thing a little child will do probably is lie to you. Hey, you say, preacher, how do they do that? Well, it's about 3:00 in the morning. I mean, you sleeping soundly, lights are out, and all of a sudden you hear a scream from the baby's room. I mean, it sounds like a blood-curdling scream, and something's getting that young'un, something is stealing and hurting that young'un, and you fall out of the bed and hit your head against the side of the bed, and you jump up and you run into the door, getting out the door in the bedroom, and run down the hall and step on a bunch of Legos they've strewn through the hallway, and you hit that door and bust your head in that door again and open it, and there that little young'un is standing there grinning at you. It's telling you, hey, I'm dying, I need help. And then whenever you get there, they just want to play. 3 o'clock in the morning ain't playtime. Oh, friend, hey, they're born with a sin nature. Everyone is born this evening with a sin nature. So you've not always been a Christian. I had one young man to tell me one time, he said, I evolved or I growed into being a Christian. No, you didn't. You didn't evolve into it. You didn't grow into your belief. Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. It's got to be a starting point of that Christian life. Hey, listen, one lady, I went knocking on doors over in England, and she come to the door. I said, good evening, ma'am. How you doing? She said, what do you want? I said, I'm Bobby Clark. I'm from down at the Baptist church down here. I just want to just making a few visits. And I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? She said, of course I'm a Christian. I was born in this country. Slammed the door. Hey, just cause you born in America don't make you a Christian. Brother, you've got to come to a point in your life, brother, that you know you're a sinner, undone without God, going to a devil's hell, and then by the Holy Ghost conviction that God sends, brother, to your heart, brother, you make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to preach this for a few more minutes tonight on from prosecution to pardon. From prosecution to pardon. I want you to notice first in the prosecution, brother, the Bible said the scripture hath concluded all under sin. As I said earlier, he's referring to Old Testament writings, and the ones he's referring to specifically are found, this one is found back in Psalms chapter 143 and verse number 2, where David writes, he said, and enter not into judgment with the servant, for in thy sight no man living is justified. No man living in the sight of God is justified, brother, except through the grace of God and through the acceptance of Jesus Christ. Brother, he's quoted that, and our key verse we read a while ago, chapter 2 verse 16, that refers to Psalms 143. Another verse we can look at is what Paul wrote to the Roman church over in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10. He says, as it is written, he said, where is it written? It's written over in Psalms chapter 14. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Brother, what does the psalmist say? He says, the fool had said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. not one friend that's born with a good nature. The word concluded, he said, for the Old Testament scripture hath concluded. That word concluded is from a Greek word. Now, I don't try to speak Greek, so you, if you won't know, you just have to get you a concordance and see for yourself. But this word concluded is from a Greek word, which has the meaning to shut up, to hem up, to confine, to imprison. It speaks of a jailer who shuts up all into sin as in a prison. Brother, the function of the law is to convict mankind of his sin so that he can turn and trust the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Brother, the law saves no man. It cannot save any individual. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law tells us and convicts us and tells us we're sinners without God. Oh, listen. Now, if I had to stop there, we could all go home and be depressed. We'd have no hope. But I'm thankful we got a promise. Thankful we got a promise. After the prosecution, brother, I'm glad there's a promise. Brother, notice the promise by or through faith of or in Jesus Christ. Oh, dear sinner, you were born that way. You're walking in your sin condition. You're walking in it now. Brother, you don't have to do anything to be lost. You don't have to do anything to be in sin. You were born in it. Remember Psalms 51:5. You were born into it. Oh, but I'm glad we have a promise. I'm glad we have a promise tonight. Brother, you don't have to remain in that condition. By faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in his word, by faith in his blood atonement, the blood he shed for the remission of the forgiveness of our sins. Brother, you can be saved tonight. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, Brother Paul goes on to say, he said that wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, brother, by Adam and by his race, brother, sin entered into the world. Hey, but friend, today, not only was he a sinner, he passed that down to us. I'm a Clark. My last name, I'm a Clark. I got the Clark hairline. I'm sorry for my kids and my grandkids. They may follow me. I hope it don't. But I look like a Clark. I look like my grandfather on my daddy's side. We always called him Big Daddy. He said, don't call me Granddaddy. Don't call me Papaw. He said, just call me Big. And that's what we did. He was Big Daddy, and I looked just like him. I mean, if you remember, if they remembered him and they seen me from a distance, they see me as Big Daddy. Oh, but friend, today that's the characteristics that have been passed down to me. But friend, today we have other characteristics that have been passed down to us. Brother, from our father Adam, and he said that as sin entered into the world by one man, so that death had passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. He said in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so that by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. thankful unto God. Brother, it's not my righteousness. It's not what I can do, but it's through him tonight. By the obedience of one, by the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a promise that we can be saved. In Romans 5:8, he said, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were still in our sins, while we were still unlovable, Christ died for us. The just for the unjust. Oh, I don't understand it. Oh, I cannot comprehend, I cannot fathom why the Holy One of God, his only beloved Son, would love me so much that he'd leave glory and come down to this earth and walk in it and live in it and go to a cross of Calvary and shed his blood for me. I don't understand that. All I can say, it's grace. It's grace, God's marvelous grace. And we see lastly, the pardon. It's not faith in yourselves. It's not what you do. It's not faith in baptism. It's not faith in the church. But it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's faith in his death and his resurrection from the dead. Eternal life is given tonight to all that believe. Now, believe is more than just a head belief. You know, I can believe tonight that chair can hold me up. I believe that chair would hold me up. I really do. I believe that chair over there would hold me up. I really do. But it ain't holding me up. Why ain't it holding me up? I ain't gone to it and sit down in it. I believed before I was ever saved. I was a 10-year-old brother that come to an old-fashioned altar, and there I wept and I cried, and my aunt come to me and she said, Bobby, do you feel better? I said, yes, I do. She said, well, then you're saved. Well, she'd been going at this a long time, a whole lot longer than me, so I believed her. Brother Eugene, I believed her. Got up, joined the church, baptized, stayed there in the church. 10 years a church member. But never trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Never went to him and repented of my sin and asked him to save me. I mean, all those 10 years still lost without God. Why? Because I'd never put my faith in him. I'd believed he would. I had believed he could, but I never trusted him to do so. I believe we got a multitude of folks around in churches today, not just this church, in any church I could go to that's got this same idea tonight, that they believe he can do it. They believe they're a good person. But listen, biblical belief is a heart trust, a confidence in this problem, a confidence in this pardon. This eternal life is a gift. It's not earned. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it. You can't trade for it. That promise by faith might be given to them that believe, put their trust in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, he said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. When one truly believes, his life is changed. When one truly accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, brother, he changes. Belief, biblical belief leads us, brother, to repentance. Notice, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You, he hath made alive who were dead. Buddy, that's a change of life. You were dead, but now you're alive. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. The prince of now worketh in the children of disobedience. You lived after the world. You walked after the world. He said, now skip down in verse number 10, he said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. No longer do we work for him. No longer do we walk where the world walks, but we work for him and we walk with him. Our life has been changed. Without repentance, there's no salvation. Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, and verse number 5, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Friend, today you have the message. Are you saved? Do you know that you've been born again? I mean, you say, preacher, I thought I was always saved. No. I thought I was saved whenever I was baptized. No. You saved whenever you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come and get a song ready, the most important thing you will ever do, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may have a large house. You may have several houses. You may have expensive automobiles. You may have boats. You may be members of exclusive clubs and have millions of dollars. And listen, ain't nothing wrong in that. Nothing wrong at all in that. But none of that's going to help you. Not a boat, not a car, not a house, not a dollar is going to help you whenever you stand before an all-powerful and all-knowing God. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You're going to stand before God one day and give an account of your life. Are you saved? Do you know it? Have you trusted him? Has there been a change in your life? While we stand, Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, God, you'd bless. Move within this service. Move within hearts. God, maybe one that's lost without you. God, if they'll come to realization of that tonight and trust you as their Savior. God, I pray, Lord, speak to hearts. Speak to hearts tonight in Jesus' name. While we sing, if you need to come, will you come?
Just as I am without one plea, but that the blood
was shed for you tonight,
shed
for me, it was shed for you.
Sing
one more verse.
Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark flock to each spot.
Remember, the Awanas begins Wednesday at 6:30, so remember that, you folks that do with that. And the ladies' conference is October 27th, so register for that if you ladies, you want to come to that conference. All right, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your prayers. Let's be dismissed in prayer.